Welcome to Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, a podcast where nostalgia comes alive. Together, Jake and his friends interview talents varying from actors, directors, writers, producers, composers, puppeteers, and so much more. Who will they be chatting with today? Find out in this Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show episode.
What is going on, you guys? And welcome to another Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, where nostalgia comes alive. Joining me, as always, is our co-host Matt Bingle, Chris Bixby, and the man in the whatever collar he wears, Jake Dunbar. How are you guys?
That's great, but who are you?
I'm wired.
We're great.
That's yes. Better. We're doing.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
We're good. Really great.
How are we having today?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Matt. We have an amazing voice actor known for many roles, of course. But we know him. He's mostly known for Binky Barnes, Bailey, and the dad from Arthur. Here he is, Bruce Densmore. How are you, Bruce?
Super good, guys. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Nice.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Happy to have you here.
So we know who you are, but for those who don't, can you tell a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. I'm a 57-year-old Canadian actor guy with two kids, a dog and a cat.
There you go.
Oh wow.
And a lovely wife.
Yeah.
And I act for a living. Been super lucky to
have made my
living as an actor my whole career. And when you live in Canada as an actor, you kind of do everything. So
yeah.
I do, as you guys know, voice acting and animation, but I also work in theater, I work in film, I work in TV. I live in Quebec, so I work in French, so I've done video games, I do radio ads, whatever's out there, and So, Canadian actor dude.
Nice, really nice. Nice, so can you kind of talk about your background and how you grew up?
Yeah. You mean kind of as it relates to what I do
where you grew up and sure. What, you know, yeah.
Well, where are you guys? Can I ask you guys that? Are you guys all
go
in
ahead.
The area? Or are you
spread yeah, we're all different.
Yeah, we're all in the U.S. Sure. I'm in Massachusetts.
I'm in Ohio.
And me and Matt live in Maryland.
Yep. Yeah.
Maryland, yep. Massachusetts, Ohio. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in a city called Vancouver in British Columbia in Canada.
Oh, nice.
So, and when I was a kid, I went to see my brother in the high school musical because my high school had a drama program. So we didn't have a football team. So, like, drama was cool. So that was kind of fun. So I went to see him in a show in a big musical called Hello, Dolly.
Oh, nice.
And I don't think he was even on stage. I think that year he was playing the saxophone in the band or something. And then I went to see him the next year because he was 3 years older than I was. And I thought it looked like fun. So when I went to high school, I auditioned for the school play and I got parts. And that's basically how it started.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. Can you talk a bit about how you got into acting and voice acting?
Well, kind of by actually the real story is kind of by accident. I live in Montreal now and I have for a long time, like 30 years. I moved to Montreal because there's a school here called the National Theatre School in Canada and they take students from all over the country and that's where I went to school. So when I graduated, we did a show. We did like a big showcase show. And this gentleman that had just produced a movie came to see it. And he was French Canadian. He was Quebecois. And he had his narrator for the film in French, but he needed an English narrator. So he asked all the guys in our class to audition, which we did. Like it was, you know, it was before.
Yeah.
Before email, it was before. So we must have either called him and left a message or just called him up on the phone and had a chat with him. Anyway, he chose me to narrate his film. So that was my first ever like voice gig right out of theater school, and it kept me here in Montreal. So that's kind of how it started. And then I got an agent, and I wasn't really happy because I kind of felt that my agent wasn't getting me out to voice gigs, because I had some friends who were always working on voice gigs. And I was kind of bugging her, like, oh, I'd really like to do this. One morning I get a call from her at like, I don't know, 8:15 in the morning. And she says, can you be at such and such studio in 20 minutes? I'm like, yeah, where is that? I had no idea. So one of her actors hadn't shown up for his gig. So I raced down there and I replaced him on this gig. The director was like, well, you did that really well. Come back next week. I think I have another little thing for you. So I went back next week. And then that led to like a continuing character in a little animated series, but dubbed, right? So like original voice like Arthur, it was an existing cartoon, I think a French cartoon or something. So I kind of snuck in the side door there. That's my how I got started in voice acting story.
That's nice. Awesome.
Really nice. Very nice.
So getting into acting and voice acting, who are some of your inspirations?
Inspirations. Definitely Looney Tunes growing up. Big fan of slapstick, big fan of that kind of stuff. A big fan also, I don't know whether it was more because I grew up in Canada or Monty Python's big and huge everywhere, right? But that kind of silly voices, that kind of accents, all that kind of stuff really was really kind of my happy place growing up for what made me laugh. Mm-hmm. And then of course when you learn to do that stuff, you make other people laugh, and that's kind of like, that's the drug. Mm-hmm. Right? You're like, oh
yeah,
this is really fun. So that was kind of my gateway to acting. Those would be my primary young influences.
That's awesome.
Oh, hey, awesome. So how did you land the roles of Binky, Mr. Reed, and Bailey on Arthur?
Well, there was a company in Montreal years and years ago called Cinar, and they the story is kind of like it's like a Greek tragedy. They could do no wrong. They were big. They were huge. They were earning money. But they flew a little too close to the sun. They got caught doing some shady things financially.
Oh wow!
So this is kind of the mid '90s that all of my acting friends, like Danny included, people I don't know if you've heard of Mark Camacho or Sonia Ball or Terry Scammell or some other well-known voice actors in Montreal, we were all working all the time. It was really a golden period. So Cinar was at the forefront of that. They were producing live action shows. They had, at one point I was doing Arthur and Whimsy's House and the Little Lulu Show, and there was tons of stuff. So it was just another addition, you know. It was just another
addition.
And I remember actually I had been golfing with a buddy of mine, and this is back in the day when, you know, again, no email, no cell phone. So we stopped to get a bite to eat, and I call, or I don't know, maybe I had a pager, I don't know, but I got a message from my agent. So I call my agent from a pay phone. you can Google that. That's easy. So, and my agent's like, yeah, you got that part in that thing called, Arthur. But you know, we had no idea, of course, that it would be a gig that would last for 25 plus years.
Long time. Yeah.
Because you guys know, right? Like
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know about the podcast?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's like, it's still going.
Yeah. Even though yeah. the actual series may not be going any longer, yeah. it's still continuing in other forms.
Yeah. 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 So, as I say, at the time, it was just one of many editions, so we had no idea that it would, like, be the gift that kept on giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
What was it like working with all the other voice actors for the first time?
It was really great, Wyatt, because things have changed so much. When we first started, we would be... we'd all be in one big studio and
yeah.
there'd be like 12 music stands set up and we'd do a cast read through. So we'd read through the entire script. It would take about, I don't know, usually about 30, 40 minutes, depending on how dense the script was or complicated it was, and we kind of talk through stuff with the director and then we'd all leave and we'd come in like in pairs or in trios or four at a time. Or sometimes we'd all, if we were all interspersed, we'd all just stay. So it was like a big family gathering and someone, you know, the talent coordinator would buy bagels and we'd chomp on a bagel while you're waiting for your turn.
Yeah.
It was super cool that way. And you got to watch everyone else work. And you also got to watch people like, you know, sometimes it wouldn't go well. Sometimes the wheels would go off the road, right? And you mm-hmm. could watch people kind of navigate getting back on track. And so there was a lot of learning that went on mm-hmm. if you were younger like I was when I started. Now, of yeah. course, we go into the studio. It's rare that we're not completely alone. Mm-hmm. You know, with a director in your ear or a Zoom meeting just like this.
Yeah.
But you're alone in a studio and there's a technician behind the glass. And, you know, now that we've done it for so long, it's no big thing. But I think that kind of group element at the beginning was really important and really formative to kind of setting the tone of the show. You know, we were all literally on the same page because we were all in the same room reading the same script, telling the same story.
Definitely.
There you go. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
So do you have any favorite episodes you've worked on with Arthur?
Or any of your characters?
Oh, Binky is by far and away my favorite. It's not even close.
Yeah.
No, I love Binky.
I love him.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know what? I think everybody loves Binky because, like, Binky just cuts through to the, right? He's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, this. And Binky's like, I'm out of here. You know, it's like, Binky's on it.
Yeah.
Favorite episodes? Yeah. Not really. You know what I used to love doing a lot? Was songs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes. Like there's a whole album of David's got a something goulash and then there's I'm gonna hit you with this. Do you guys remember this? My night love.
Yes.
Yeah, night.
Oh yes.
Yes. I think so.
Suck it.
Awesome.
That stuff was so much fun to do.
Yeah,
that was I love doing that. We worked with a composer, a guy named Jeff Zahn, from New York.
Yeah,
he's a ton of fun. He's a ton of laughs, and we would just laugh our heads off and, you know, record these wacky songs.
That's awesome.
Definitely a lot of wacky songs as well.
Yeah,
oh,
crazy
yeah,
bus sure. and so many more.
Oh, yeah, crazy bus, Jekyll and yes. Hyde.
We all, you know, we all, that's something here. Maybe it's a little hidden trivia thing for you. Pretty much the entire cast sings backup on the theme song. Cause, oh, wow.
I never knew that.
Yeah, wow. No, we're all in there on backing vocals.
Wow.
Wow. My gosh. I didn't know that.
That's something I know.
I did not know that.
The theme is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole story of them going down to meet Ziggy Marley and what an iconic tune too, eh? Like
it's definitely.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes. Very message
from your heart.
Yeah. Definitely.
Believe in yourself.
Amazing theme song.
Good song.
You still gotta ask the next question because I'm kind of curious.
Yes. So for you Arthur fans, I knew you're gonna be excited when I ask this question.
We heard a bit of Binky.
Yeah.
Can we hear a bit of their voices?
Like Mr. Reed and Bailey, because we did hear you do Binky.
Well, basically, Dad is me, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't change my voice too much.
Oh, there you go.
Arthur, dinner. It's weird because when I first started, I didn't have kids. I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I think, when it started. So I only had kids later. So Dad was a bit more of a struggle for me at first. Mm. So maybe that's why I didn't connect with Dad as much.
Yeah.
And now, in fact, now that we're doing the podcast, I find it much easier to get a handle on Dad.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys remember, Bailey is a total ripoff. If you've ever seen Gilligan's Island.
I think so.
It's like we're talking 70s. This is a long time ago.
Yeah. My parents grew up with it.
There was what was his name? Charles Howell III. He was the rich. They're all like stowaways on an island.
Nice.
That's a ripoff of Thurston Howell III. That's his name. Total.
Wow. Jim Backus was the guy's name.
Pardon?
Jim Backus is.
That's it. Him. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, lovey. Right away, lovey.
Yeah.
Bailey's a ripoff.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. We're just talking about the songs. Do you have a favorite song?
From the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the soundtracks, like the music episode, the festival episode.
Not really. Do you? What's yours?
I like the theme song. Every song too.
I mean, me too. Honestly, you know, like a little the every day when like you mean, so like right away you're in, right?
I said this to Daniel's episode too. One of my favorite songs is a Library Card song.
Oh my god, it's
a Library Card.
Oh, and the song in the recurring song in the Ballad of Buster Baxter is good as well.
Oh, I love that episode.
Oh yeah, the one with Art Garfunkel. Yeah,
Art Garfunkel.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like also from that festival episode, of course the one that Binky sings as well. I also love Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a good one with Brain. I like that one a lot.
That's a super fun episode, actually. Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. Definitely. So, in addition to the episodes, Arthur had a few different specials. Do you have a favorite? There was a Christmas one. There was one with the Backstreet Boys.
Halloween.
Boys. That's right. You know what? I didn't get to meet Fred Rogers. I wasn't. He came to Montreal to record.
Yeah.
And in fact, Danny, our good friend Danny.
Yeah.
He was spearheading an idea of us all wearing cardigans to studio.
He didn't tell us about
that. I love that.
He didn't tell us. Follow through on that. But for some reason, I couldn't record that day. I was shooting on something, or Anyway, I didn't get to meet Fred Rogers. So
that's
yeah. Awesome. Arthur meets Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, amazing.
That's amazing episode. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Binky sings a bit of the Mr. Rogers theme in that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, to kind of like poke fun at it almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then when he actually meets Mr. Rogers, he's like, yeah. Funny. Like he's making fun of like Arthur the whole time, and then he actually meets Mr. Rogers and his jaw just drops.
Yeah.
He was like amazing.
Yeah. How many times has Binky ever been speechless, right?
I know, yeah.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
So Arthur also had a movie. Arthur's Missing Pal. Mm-hmm. What was it like working on that?
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's funny. What I remember about that was that it was maybe not going to happen, or
really?
Oh wow.
Yeah, it.
Oh.
I remember weird stuff from that. Like I actually my recollection of that project is that it was complicated. It was somehow complicated getting the voices on, or anyway, that's completely irrelevant to the film itself. But yeah, I recall it was a complicated kind of process, and I think that kind of, I don't know, shades it oddly in my memory.
Yeah.
I have to watch it again. It's been a long time.
It's on YouTube. I know you're credited as Bruce Smithley in that too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible. It's possible it's not me. Because I remember at some point there was like some kind of weird will we, won't we, there was a, anyway, maybe that's what I'm stretching into the cobwebs of my brain to find, is that maybe in fact it wasn't us, they used other voices.
There you go, we should ask Danny about that. Danny.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. So, what was it like recording for the merchandise, the website, and the computer games?
the computer games, now that's the stuff through PBS, you mean?
Yes.
Those are super
but
fun.
There was also separate ones from Living Books is what it was.
Right.
Those were before the series though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Postcards from Buster too, right?
Yeah. Great. It's been we talked to Danny
that. Postcards from Buster was a lot of fun, and every now and again we'd pop up in there, and
right,
you know, we'd help Danny out with an episode or two, and yeah, that was fun. That stuff was great, and PBS has been like 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago they did a little animated short on the importance of voting. That Binky was in that, and that was after the series had officially kind of wrapped.
Yeah.
So those things are
super
fun.
Yeah,
but not
animalized.
Yeah.
Because it's like icing on the cake. You know, you get a call and it's like, oh, we want to do this little, and you get in there and it's like a public service announcement, but it's so much more, right? Because the people behind them, it's usually Carol Greenwald, and who's the executive producer from day one, who's involved in those projects. So it's not like it's just a project with Binky thrown in. It's, you know, it's really in Arthur's, it's really in our ballpark kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the games are awesome. I know me and Matt both played the birthday one.
Oh, cool.
Are you talking about the Living Books one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those are fun. Those are really fun.
Definitely. I remember one game, I know you played it too, Chris, where answer.
Factor opinion.
Was it the facts and opinions game?
Yeah, that's what it was. I thought I was thinking that. It's funny. Like when you do the correct answer, it was like,
You mean that generic air horn? Fun.
Yeah.
No, but
you love those sounds.
Well,
yay.
Well, those are wonderful. So now I know you
Sure.
mentioned this a couple minutes ago, but who are some of your favorite celebrity guests that have been on? Because there were so many. Sure.
Yeah, Yo-Yo Ma, that's a fun
Yeah.
episode.
Oh yeah.
Amazing.
Who else over the years? Mostly we'd kind of we'd because we re continued to record in Montreal, and even after Cynar broke up, and then a company called Cookie Jar took over.
Yeah,
That's
that's
right.
what made
They,
Arthur.
and they were based in Montreal for a time. Then they moved to Toronto, so we would our you know our director would fly in from Toronto, but she would often fly to meet guests in LA, right? Because I mean, most show business guests, anyways, are based out of LA. So most of my recollections about the guests are more our grilling Deborah Toffin, our voice director for
Yeah.
the entire series, like what they were like. It's like, oh, so was it fun? Were they difficult to work with? They're
Yeah.
so we'd get the goods from her on who was, but across the board, everybody was usually great, right? Because they wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah,
Definitely.
I mean,
Yeah.
and in fact, I think if I'm not, I don't think I'm making this up. I think in many cases, people reached out to Arthur to say, we'd be interested and can you find a way of, so
Oh wow.
yeah,
Wow.
I think yeah, I can't recall any in studio anecdotes that are super funny, but I mean I love the episodes because clearly the
Yeah.
episodes are built around those people so well that they're
Definitely.
almost always excellent.
Definitely.
They are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So here's an interesting question for you. Which Arthur character would you say you're most like?
All right. That's funny. I think I'd maybe like to be Binky, but
There
I'm
you
not
go.
Binky. I'm not a Binky. Probably closest to being an Arthur, actually.
There you go.
Wow.
It's kind of like middle of the road, not too quirky. Likes to like, yeah, like to
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
to please, but and afraid of doing all the work. Yeah, I'm probably
Yeah.
more of an Arthur than anything else. Although, we probably all secretly want to be like a DW, right? Like just not care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if the world was full of DWs, we'd be in big trouble, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, without
Yeah,
a
for
doubt.
sure.
No
Oh my
question. Yeah,
gosh.
definitely.
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 For sure. So,
Definitely.
is there an Arthur character that didn't get used much that you wish you would have seen more of?
See more of. Let me think. Well, no, I can't. I mean, there's so many,
Yeah.
and it's weird too because at the beginning we all knew one another, and then as the show kind of as the making of the show got more spread apart, there were Arthurs that I've never met in person, right? That
Oh,
who played the character of Arthur for years that I never actually have crossed paths with. So that's kind of weird. So my connection to the characters, I guess, is distant.
Yeah.
So no, I can't. I mean, Dark Bunny was
Oh,
like
yeah.
they're kind of phased out Dark Bunny. I kind of like Dark Bunny. I could have done with a little more Dark Bunny, maybe, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Here's a good one. Over 25 years, Arthur won several awards. How does it feel that the series became such a success throughout its long run?
Well, it's gratifying. You know, it's fun to work on. It's fun to work on something too that has, that has an impact.
Right? Yeah,
like
definitely.
You know, I mean, I still meet people who are like, okay, can you? Would you do the Binky voice? Can you do the Binky voice? And you know, my kids were never into the show. Never. Oh, wow. And they're 13 and 18 now, but they will still every now and again, one of them will kind of like half rolling their eyes going, you know, dad, you know, Jessica would like you to do the Binky voice. And like Jessica or whoever will be like, oh my God, that's so great. My kid's just like, yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. They just missed the Arthur boat. I don't know what it is. I'm throwing them under the bus here, but it's true.
There you go.
So as a show with a very diverse group of characters, how important do you think having a series with, you know, diversity and representation is in today's world?
I think it's super important. And I, you know, you just said why, like, the... How does it feel to be on a show that, I mean, the Emmys are great. You know, we don't personally, they don't cut the Emmy into like 400 slices for every animator and every voice, you know, voice actor and voice director. I don't know where those Emmys are but more importantly, or like to Chris's question, like the times that Arthur's been at the forefront of, you know, with Mr. Ratburn, and with Postcards to Buster, you know, and the fact that each time with these really, really small inclusions to people that make up a significant part of the fabric of our society caused such blowback each time. There was a big hue and cry and, oh, we're taking it off the air. And that just shows you how important it is to have those inclusions, to have representation for LGBTQ or, you know, people of color, whatever. So I'm super proud of that. And
there you go.
It couldn't be more important, I think, Chris.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you still keep in touch with anyone from Arthur?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I see Danny a lot.
Yeah.
Nice. Danny's wife also works in voice, and I do some advertising with her.
Oh, nice.
She's amazing. So I get news of Danny and their family often. Who else? I see Jody. I cross paths with Jody, Arthur Holden, who does Mr. Ratburn.
Oh, nice. He's awesome.
Arthur every now and again. You know, the pandemic, of course, kind of blew that all apart a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a good bunch of people involved for sure. It's kind of like a lifelong club now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a family. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sure. Do you have any Arthur memorabilia from over the years that you like the show, or you can tell?
Or you can tell us what you have from Arthur that you kept.
Do I have any? Somewhere I have a cell, like a
animation
cell. Yeah,
animation cell.
That Greg gave me. And you know what? This is going to look like a plant. It's totally not a plant. But I do also, and I think Danny shared it with you. When he was on, did he share a t-shirt?
Yeah.
He shared the t-shirt for Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's for Bob. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to see it.
Wow.
Oh my
God!
Wow!
That's not. Oh, I love that.
That is amazing.
I love that.
It's like an oil painting, though, guys. It's
Yeah. Looks like it.
And this was given to me by Greg Bailey, our head animator. And
Wow!
Yeah, that's pretty.
Oh my God!
That is
pretty awesome. I have never worn it. I probably never will. But
understandable, yeah.
Understandable.
And I love that it's Angry Binky too, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Totally like,
get off there now!
Oh man!
Oh wow, that's really cool.
Oh my gosh!
It really does look like an oil painting.
Yeah,
that's a really cool thing.
I don't know what he used to. I mean, I don't think the shirt is for wearing. So, but. I think you guys are the first people I've ever showed that to. So,
Oh wow!
thank you for showing that to us.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So in addition to Arthur, you also lent your voice to the character Horace on Whimsy's House.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was fun. The. I flash back again to the songs. The songs in Whimsy's House were a bunch of fun to record.
Oh, yeah.
The technical process of dubbing is quite a bit different. So you don't have the same freedom that, you know, in Arthur, all the quirks and mannerisms of the characters are really our own quirks and mannerisms. Mm-hmm. And yeah. In Whimsy's House, because the puppeteers were French,
right?
They recorded it in French first, so you're kind of like, trapped isn't the right word, but you're bound to respect what the previous actor did. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a freedom in that you're not doing the heavy lifting of creating those moments. But you have to do justice to what the previous actor did. So it's a different set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's actually more, again, difficult's not the right. It's more rigorous to do. Like if you go into a two-hour dubbing session, you'll be more tired mentally than you would going into a two-hour original voice session. The voice session, you're just doing you're just doing you know what you feel like doing. In the dubbing session, you have to respect what comes before, so it actually takes, oddly enough, a little more mental energy and attention.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
And I know that the voice of the mother from Arthur also voiced Whimsy.
Sonia.
That's right.
I live in a little town called Hudson, which is like 45 kilometers outside of Montreal. And Sonia lives like 5 minutes from me.
Wow.
That's
awesome. All the
that's
time cool. At the grocery store. So.
That's awesome.
She's a phenomenal talent. Yeah, she's a phenomenal singer.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So now you've also lent your voice to several other animated series, such as What's With Andy and Sagwa, whole bunch of different shows. What was it like working on those?
I mean, fun.
Animation's
it's a blast, you know. There are a lot worse things to do for a living than going into studio and telling stories and hopefully making people laugh or making people think every day that I'm behind a microphone, it's let me tell you, it's a pretty pleasant work atmosphere, because in the hundreds of gigs over the years, I can maybe think of two instances, three, where it wasn't fun. Like, usually we just, you know, you're making cartoons, right? Like, what's not to like? So, pretty good gig.
Definitely.
Nice. Awesome.
That's awesome. Hold on. All right, there it is. Overall, what do you enjoy most about your work as an actor and voice actor over the years?
Well, just, you know, really what I just said, the atmosphere in studio, the fact that, you know, you're there to, that it seems the more we enjoy ourselves in studio, the more that transmits into the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
So really you're kind of getting paid to have fun, which good gig. Good gig.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
So the actual work part of it for me is the most fun, is going into studio and, you know, working with sound technicians and directors and producers to just like make something as good as we can.
Definitely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So we've talked a lot about your work in the past. Can you share any projects you're working on now?
I'm playing a judge. Judge Murphy.
Oh, nice.
But in French.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of space in my brain because all the dialogue is complex legal jargon, but it's all in French. So I come home very tired after those shooting days. so there's that. I'm finally playing a cop in a movie. I've never played a cop.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Wow.
I've played lawyers. I've played district attorneys. I've played judges. Never played a cop. So this March, April, I'm shooting a movie with my friend Simon Boisvert here in Quebec. And it's, I play a cop in that. That'll be fun.
Oh, really nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Nice. We'll look
awesome.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So as an actor and a voice actor, what challenges would you say you faced during your career?
Oh, you know, like every actor goes through moments where, you know, there's less work, maybe less work than you'd like. So that's tough. But is it like excruciating or no, you know, I honestly would have to kind of answer that question by saying I haven't faced too many challenges when you think what a real challenge is, right? Like not having access to work or not having, and again, back to Chris's point earlier about, representation of
characters.
You know, I'm now a 57-year-old white guy. I've been thoroughly represented for my whole career, you know. I don't have too much to complain about, so I think it's great that the pendulum is finally swinging to more diverse characters being played by diverse actors too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, sure. So, why I forgot to say this earlier, but not to notice till now, that you said about that he was a part of the Spookily the Square Pumpkin.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
That's so funny. Edgar Allan and Poe were spiders, right? I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, and the two other guys that voice that with me, well, one of them's directing it now because we're doing it again. Remember the composer I was telling you about, the guy from New York who's so much fun? Jeff Zahn. It's his it's his company. He's involved. He's writing the songs again. And the two other actors that I work with are Rick Jones and Terrence Scammell.
Oh, wow.
And they are so funny. And the spiders we play are so dumb. So it's like, it's just a challenge, like, for the three of us to be, yeah. So when I say going to studio is, you know, is where the fun is, when I'm in studio with Rick and Terry and we're doing Edgar Allan and Poe, it's just hilarious.
Oh my God.
And it's like a race to the bottom. Whose character can be the dumbest? And it's,
it's I'm glad I bring it back.
Well, I know that they've it's mostly in puppet format.
Hey, there you go.
Nice.
We love that.
And yeah. I know, and they're doing, they've done specials. So I think we've done, obviously there was the original, the Halloween, but I think there's been an Easter. I think there's, anyway. Maybe more coming. Who knows?
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Can we hear a bit of the Poe voice?
Poe, he's really dumb.
Oh,
he's not very bright at all. And he laughs a lot.
Yeah. I love Spookly the Square Pumpkin. Yeah. They used to, I'm sure they probably still do. They used to show it a lot on like Disney or some one of those.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say this. Hopefully you're up and for it. Hopefully you can get back on with you and Danny.
Sorry about that. What?
Hopefully you can come back on the podcast in the future. We have you and Danny in the same room.
That'd be funny.
That'd be funny.
The same Zoom. Room. Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely.
What piece of advice would you give to anyone who wants to get into acting and voice acting?
Well, voice acting is really, for someone who wants to get into acting, the piece of advice I would give, you know, not trying to push Nike or anything, but just do it. Like, just do it. Like, it doesn't matter. And also self-produce. That's something I never did. I was never involved in writing my own stuff or creating my own company of actors with other people. I would really encourage anyone starting who wants to be an actor to really focus on that more. Because with all the tools available to us now, with cell phones to camera to Zoom to so much possible that wasn't possible 20 years ago that kept actors confined and waiting for phone calls, there's no reason for that anymore. So that would be my general advice about acting. Just do it. Just get out there and create your own stuff. If no one's giving you a platform, make your own platform. And voice acting is a little harder because it's a little more specific. It's a little more niche. And honestly, I have to say it's a little harder to have that, you know, like the story I told at the beginning, the door cracked open for me.
Yeah.
Kind of by accident there, right? An actor oversleeping one day. So yeah, I guess, you know, be yourself, know your strengths, play to your strengths. Like, obviously I will never play Darth Vader. That's not my so yeah,
there you go.
And believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
I will say this, speaking of the art and all that, Jakey does have the last book that came out.
Which is called Believe in Yourself.
That's awesome.
I got to pick that up.
Yeah, Mark, which actually read the whole book. It's amazing.
That's fabulous. Yeah, Mark sent us all a signed copy of that, which was
cool. Oh, Mark.
Oh, that's cool. That's right. We're gonna mention. I'll edit this part out. Next year, we're actually gonna have Mark Brown on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a party for the kind of official end. I'm gonna say 3 years ago. Here in Montreal, and Mark and I had never met person to person. It was really super moving to meet him, and because he was, I guess, you know, he was a school teacher.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so he told me a lot about the kid that he based Binky on. And it was super, super moving to, like, you know, because anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he gave it was kind of like it was like Frankenstein meeting his monster, you know. And it was, well, you know, he gave birth to the character and I had voiced the character for so long. So for each of us to, it's kind of inconceivable that over 26, I mean, you know, there were 25 seasons, but over longer, that we never were in the same room together. It was super great to meet him. He's he's quite wonderful. That's great. You guys will have a blast.
Awesome. Oh yeah.
Definitely. Yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah. What would you like to say to the fans and supporters of your work and of Arthur?
Thanks.
There you go.
Stay tuned.
we 100%. Yeah.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If people would like to contact you, where can people find you?
Well, the same way you guys did. You guys reached out to my agent, Catherine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people can Google my name and my agent's name should come up and they can get in touch with her. And then,
yeah,
like you guys did, you get in touch with me and we set it up and boom, we make it happen.
Yes. Nice. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And links to that will be in the description below for all of our viewers and listeners out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So to kind of end this off, so of course this podcast is called Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show. When you think of nostalgia, what do you think of, or how would you define the word nostalgia?
Yeah.
Define nostalgia. Yeah, it's something that makes you feel safe and warm and
For me, it's
I remember we would have TV dinners in front of the TV when I was a kid, and we would watch because we lived in Vancouver, the hockey game that was on in Montreal. I was a big Montreal Canadiens fan.
Yeah.
So the hockey game would be on here in Montreal at 8 o'clock, but it was 5 o'clock in Vancouver. So in between the first and second periods, I would be my job to set up the TV tables and we'd have dinner in front of the TV and watch the second period. That for me is my nostalgia moment. That's where
awesome.
My family.
For sure.
Doing something together we all loved. So yeah, that's my happy nostalgia moment.
Yeah, nice. Yes, I want to say this to you, Bruce. Thank you so much for being show and we have a blast talking to you, and thank you for so much for being a part of our childhoods and keep up your great work and
can see, we see what's next in store happens. For you.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Hey, and for Binky, Arthur too. Nice.
Yeah. Hey Binky, do you have any last words?
I don't know. Go outside and play. I don't know.
There you go.
Oh, go kick a little kid. No, don't do that. No, I'm trying to stay away from that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Guys. Super great meeting you all.
Super great meeting you too.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
You're worth it.
Take care.
Bruce. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye. You're worth
it. Bye.
Bye.
See Bruce.
Bye, Bruce. Take care. Well, everyone, that brings another episode of Jake's Happy Nostalgia to a close. Thanks. You know, Thank you all for continuing to support the podcast. We've enjoyed our time with Bruce Dinsmore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That would definitely love to have more Arthur people on in the future. So stay tuned for that possibility. We'll definitely try and reach out. I know
maybe
people,
some people but that did the music or something.
I know, yeah. I know people have requested some people have requested us to get some more people from Arthur. So yeah, but anyway, As Wyatt said to Bruce, remember that you are worth it and to always
stay nostalgic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. And keep nostalgia alive.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
See you next time on another episode of Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, where nostalgia comes alive. Be sure to follow us on social media and stream us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And as always, remember that you are worth it and to always stay nostalgic. Bye-bye.